How's it going? You good? Ooh, I got double thumbs up over here.
Welcome to our TED Talk.
Yes, I just feel like my heart is stirred this morning before we even jump into our content. Just to say that when we lead worship, and when any person is leading or teaching the word and bringing the word, it is never to entertain you. It is not to manipulate you. It is not for an emotional high. It is because we desire to behold Jesus. Yeah. And I hope that you see that, and I hope that you can feel that. But I just think that that's so important that we recognize, like, this is not about perfection. It's not about performance in any part of our church family, right? We show up because we love him, and we desire to connect with him deeper and to exalt him. And so our heart this morning is just that you would behold Jesus with us. Would you gaze on the face of the Lord? And if you don't know who we are very honored and privileged. We get to lead worship here. We're on a rotation, so we each take one weekend out of the month, and then we have house church weekend. And let me tell you, it is the most fun to share just the responsibility of worship with these incredible people. It really is. It's a gift and a treasure, and we love each other. And so we're going to share a little bit about who we are and our background this morning, but we have been in a series on overflowing. If we're living a life that's overflowing, we're living in the kingdom of God, right? Did you know that worship is the most important activity in the kingdom of God? Did you know that? I've heard a quote for a long time that says, the preaching of the gospel will one day end, but the worship of our King will never end. Amen. And so I want to invite you into a place of honesty this morning. We had a lot of honesty in the room last night of like, you know what? I either don't understand worship or I don't like music. Like, what do I do with that? Well, let me set you free just by starting and saying, worship is not music, right? It's an expression of our worship and our adoration. But it's just one expression. So as we jump into that, I just have this cool little foundational tool that we're going to use for the postures of worship, if you were wondering, like, what are they? Here they are, okay? So just as we go through these, like, try to identify yourself, you know? You have to keep your hands in your pockets. You're like the elbow flapper. Like, slightly composed, but still moving, you know? We have carried the TV. It's a small TV, but God has provided a TV, and we are blessed. So we're carrying that TV. We have a go big screen, so a little bit wider, you know? And then my fish was this big. If you want to brag on a Sunday morning, that's it right there. Hold my baby. You're in church. I hope somebody would want to do that. Hold my baby. Mufasa. We have, this one I've actually never seen, dueling light bulbs. Everybody do this. You know, just loosen yourself up today. Dueling light bulbs. We have goalposts and heartburn. This is Adam. Adam Pacheco, everybody. Yep, we got that on lock.
And I do have heartburn, for real. I take medicine. It's fine now.
Thank you, Lord. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Then we have the expert level on the bottom shelf here. So that's a compliment to you if you've ever, you know, reached that expert level. We have Village People, Rocky, and Touchdown. It's like a landing strip for the Lord. Right there.
Janelle, can I add? I thought of a couple last night after.
I got one.
Like,
part
two. Okay, you got one. Like, I'd like the hug, like the self-hug, just like the, you know, I love that one. I went to school worship with a kid that he would always do this. And I was always waiting for the leg, like the Karate Kid. But as a worship leader, can I be vulnerable? My least favorite, the coffee cup. So just, you guys might judge us up here, but we are also judging you, so.
Last one I got is the sparkles. The sparkles. It's a new one.
I also always heard of the, like, carry the watermelon. Yes. It's like, you know, close to your heart, but you're carrying it well. Guys, in order for us to live a life of overflow, we must live a life of worship. You cannot have one without the other. And So before we jump into our scripture, we're going to be teaching from Psalms 27 this morning, but we're just going to go ahead and introduce ourselves a little bit, give you a little background on who we are, and I guess I will start. So my name is Janelle, and my husband is the really attractive man with a mustache behind the sound booth over there, and these are our kids. We are a force, you know. We actually went to Canada this summer, and we were borrowing our sweet, sweet friend's RV. And when we went, it was the time of the stampede, and they were like, oh, you guys are a team. And we're like, no, we're just a family. They're like, no, for the stampede, you're a team. So that's how we're perceived. Yeah, it's hard for me to say, but okay, so this is Evangeline. She's our second oldest. This is Providence. She's our youngest. Lane is in the middle, Marcus is in the middle, and then Bronwyn and Isabel's in the back. She's our oldest. And I said this last night, we have a full car, an empty bank account, and full hearts. So there you go. Yes, and when it comes to sharing my background on specifically leading worship, I think the most important thing actually for me to share is just when I was a teenager, I had been running from the Lord. And there was a woman in our church who heard me in a hallway and said, hey, have you ever considered singing? And I was like, yeah, right. And just was captivated by music and by worship and really encountered the Lord. And so I spent years sitting at a piano, and that really was like what established my personal worship time with the Lord, just singing scripture back to him. And I was super privileged. I started leading worship when I was 16. I had no idea what I was doing, and I will try to find footage sometime if anyone is curious. It was terrible. Started doing that and then fell into a worship pastor position when we were the Jubilee campus. So I served DJ and Cammy at our Lakewood campus. And then when Shine planted, I got to come and join all of you wonderful people. And I was here for almost 4 years before stepping down from that full time to spend more time with our kids. And now I'm in this amazing rotation with these guys. And I just want to say, like, they are men of God. I honor, I respect them. They are great friends. They are lovers of Jesus. And we're so privileged to do this together. So
cool. This is my family. I'm Caleb. This is my wife, Shayna. She's on the worship team this morning. My two boys, Lucas, my oldest on the left, Moses on the right. Ayla is our daughter, who's one in the middle. And as far as like history of worship leading, like, you know, I just thought of two quick stories that are really cool that, you know, my mom used to just really, you would never know she plays the piano these days, but she does play the piano, and she would really just play like totally by ear, prophetically, just, you know, hitting whatever notes, and she would just go into it for like an hour at home. And so that just like really inspired me, and I started like thinking around on the piano. And I think another thing, you know worshiping and worship leading, I'll skip all the boring parts, but at one point I was thinking about going to Hillsong Worship College in Australia. I had my whole life planned out or whatever, and this man, Josh Pruitt, convinced me not to do that and to go to Bethel School of Worship instead. School of Supernatural Worship. Sounds really cool. Yeah, it was a lot cheaper, and it was shorter, and it was also way, way more charismatic. So it was a really cool turn my life around moment. And so anyway, I'm really thankful for that, bro. Thanks. Obviously, you know, fast forward a lot. Been worship pastor and worship leader throughout the years, but getting to do this has been the coolest thing that I've ever done with worship because of our extreme like differences and personalities and in our histories with God. Adam and Janelle bring different things than I bring, and it's a really cool thing, I think, for the congregation, you guys, but also just to be able to be in a team with people with extremely different perspectives, because God is so much bigger than my perspective. So
that's good. I'm Adam Pacheco. This is mi familia, Arissa. She's 40. Nehemiah, 15. Adam, also 40. Osias is 13 on the right there. And then Avi is 10 and Esme 7. So, yeah, we made those kids. Good work, babe.
Good job.
The history of worship. Let's see. I've been singing since I was, like, little. Like, my mom went to our pastor and was like, bro, this guy will not stop singing. What do I do? And he's like, he's worshiping. Like, but the first time I sang in public was like a teen talent show. I was supposed to sing a duet, a Jackie Velasquez tune that I did not pick. And she got the flu. I don't even remember. I get on my knees, maybe. I don't know. I think there was some Spanish in there. She did not show up. And I sang by myself. And it was just like, I did it. I got it out of the way. And then there's always like a person, right? Like someone's the catalyst. And my youth pastor, Hans Weston, it was just such a pivotal time in my life. My parents were like going through a divorce. And like I was flailing, to be honest. And it was a challenging time. And he was just like, bro, have you ever thought about playing guitar? And I got a guitar. And that day when I was at that talent show, I got my first guitar. And him and his sister and her husband came in and they taught us to play chords. And, you know, I still remember the first time I led. It was just, I don't even remember the song, but it was just two chords. And it was just like, oh, I remember. Broom, more love. Broom, more power. More of you in my life. And it was just like, all right, I did it. And so I've been leading. I'm actually a recovering worship leader. So that was the beginning, many years of leading, and in between some great church experiences, some not so great church experiences. And if you would have asked me 5 years ago if I would be doing it again, I would have probably told you no. So it is a blessing to be with these guys and do it as a team and to be at Shine. So it's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Shine. I always tell Dan, Shine's a weird church, right? like if you have to be okay with a little bit of weird, like a panel of three worship leaders, like, I don't know, another church that would probably do this, or passing the mic around to pretty much random people every week. It's like, what are they going to say? So that's why we love Shine. It's a weird church, so it was a good fit for us.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting us share just a little bit about who we are, and thank you for giving us grace as a church. Like, we're trying this for the first time. I don't know any other church that was on a rotation the way that we do it, and not that we're trying to be anybody else, but you guys have given us grace to step into something. And so we just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for trusting us. Thank you for crying out in worship. I think that's the most powerful thing I've seen in our worship in the last few months. God is doing something new, but it is in your heart that when we are in the middle of a song, whether it has something to do with it or not, you're like, I can't not cry out to Jesus. And that is so beautiful and so powerful. So usually, right, in a message, you would love it if I could give you the three C's of worship. You guys want to come up with one?
Consistency.
Capitalism. Oh. Just kidding.
We derailed.
What's the third C, Janelle?
Closeness. But you would love it if I could give you a formula, and worship is not a formula. So be free in that this morning. That actually should free you up to encounter God and experience God and also express your love for him in more ways than what you've even known to this day. And what we wanted to do was kind of take a portion of scripture and just give you something tangible that you could meditate on. We're going to be in Psalm 27, verses 4 through 6 this morning. And these are written as instructions from David, who had many various roles that we see in scripture, but the one thing that was consistent is that he was a full-time worshiper. So he's giving us tools and directions, and he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. And so the words that we're pulling from this and we're going to be talking about this morning is desire, seek, dwell, gaze, inquire, and sacrifice. And from our heart, just so you guys know, if we can't make it through all of this content, that's not the thing that's the most important to us, because there's nothing new under the sun. There's probably not something that we're going to say this morning that you're like, whoa, I never have heard that before in my life. Maybe there is. Let us know. But we want to change it a little bit this morning. So instead of having a designated interaction time, at any point, if you have a question in regards to worship, whether it's something that we're talking about or it makes you think about something else, just raise your hand. We have mic runners that are going to be watching for you, and feel free to ask your questions. Our heart is more for this to be a blessing to you and for the Lord to meet you where you're at, so you don't leave with a million questions running through your mind. So please feel free to do that. But we're going to start by just talking about desire. And so, Caleb, if you would kick us off, how do desire and worship correlate?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is just what the Lord has been speaking to me recently about worship. We decided to do this message not like very broad and very shallow, but just kind of like what God's speaking to us about this right now. So hopefully that speaks to you guys. But worship is about love. That's it, right? Worship is about love. Really, your experience with worshiping the Lord, that is your experience with your relationship with the Lord. It would be so weird. Like, just think about it in a regular relationship sense. Like, you and your spouse or something like, oh, yeah, like, our, like, I don't know, our intimacy is completely separate from our regular relationship. It's just weird. It's weird to think that it's not connected. And I think a lot of times with worship, we, like, try to divide things. We're like, the weekend service worship. And then, like, worshiping with our life, right? Like, how many of people have heard that? Like, worshiping as a lifestyle. It's different than, it's not different. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. It's your relationship with God, right? And so that's what we care about. That's what I feel like the Lord is caring about. He wants, not only does he want pure worship, but he wants a lifestyle of purity. He wants your heart. I think the Lord looks at our hearts more than he looks at anything else, right? He looks at the intention of your heart. So as we're worshiping, like, it's about pouring our love out before him. And one thing I really want to mention is that it's all about grace, right? Grace is the empowerment of God to live the Christian life. And you cannot actually worship God without receiving his love first. Like, if you try to love God out of your own efforts, you're giving him this weak human attempt at love. But if you receive unconditional, perfect love from God, you're actually able to give him perfect love in response. So as you worship, just make sure you're receiving. And if you're struggling with that, just ask him, Lord, help me to receive your love. God, help me to love you. Help me to actually love you. Help my heart. Real quick, a scripture that I have. Let's just read Matthew 22:36-37. Let's read it from the screen. It's faster. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Some versions say with all your strength. I had a really cool story. I had an opportunity to hang out with one of my wife's friends and her husband, and he happens to be a Baptist preacher, and I don't have a ton in common with necessarily a Baptist, other than we both believe in Jesus, but it was really cool because the guy's really passionate about theology, and Shana told me, just talk to him about theology, and you know, it'll open him up, and he'll talk all night. So we had a six-hour conversation about theology. Now, I'm totally cool with that. I love conversations about theology, so that works for me. But we had a six-hour conversation, and you know what really, really stood out to me, other than the fact that we had a lot in common, and it really opened my eyes, but is he said, we were talking about worship, we were talking about loving the Lord. He's like, well, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I was like, yeah. He's like, what's the greatest commandment? Well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he's like, when was the last time you actually did that? Like, when was the last time you actually loved God with all of your heart? Like, all your heart. Like, man, I don't know, a couple times maybe in my life that I could be like, yeah, for sure. This moment, like, I was loving the Lord God with all my heart in this moment for an hour or 20 minutes or 5 minutes. Like, just think about that. Like, That's the greatest commandment. That is the greatest commandment Jesus says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we're so bad at it. But the thing is we have to receive it from God. We need God's help to actually love him. And that is what worship's about. So one last scripture I do want to read real quick. Luke 7:37 through 48. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came with an alabaster jar of perfume. Man, that song is like one of my favorite songs this morning. Oh, man. We could just keep singing that. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Slide. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Slide. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of them both. Now, which one will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. And he turned toward the woman and said, do you see this woman? I came into my house. And he goes on. But he says, and you can skip to the next slide. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Her many sins have been forgiven, as great as her love is shown. The version I was reading was NK or NASB, which says that he who has been forgiven much loves much, right? Yeah, that's all I've got for that.
So good. As a worship leader, sometimes when my kids are praying for dinner, like I wanted to be like, oh, my love. Oh, my love. Like, as you're reading the scripture, you can have it all. I don't know. It's just this weird thing I do sometimes when we're eating. Sorry. Random. That was my... See, DJ, that's what I was talking about. The rabbit trail. Now I have to do it.
Do it.
There it is.
Sorry, that was my DJ rabbit trail. Okay, Janelle, your turn.
Janelle, yeah. What do you think about seek? What is it you think it's meant in your life, different seasons?
I said last night, that feels like such a big question. Like, what does it mean to seek God in different seasons? But I think something that with just people I've been walking with in this season and then seasons I've experienced personally, does it ever feel like you're so exhausted and you're so tired that the only thing you can do is call on the name of Jesus? Like, to call you to mind, to invite you into my situation, but I don't have elaborate flowery prayers. I'm not spending hours writing in my journal because I feel exhausted, whatever that may be. But I will speak the name of Jesus. And I want to continue to seek him. And I have been so blessed and I'm so grateful for community in my life where they've even reminded me, like, if they see that I'm off track or that things are maybe kind of spinning out in a certain area, they'll be like, are you seeking the Lord? And the interesting thing when we look at desire and then seek, seeking puts action to our desire, right? If we desire something, usually it requires action on our part to get it. And so seek defined is to go in search of, to look for, to try to find or discover or pursue. And pursue is to search after, follow close upon, and to persevere. So if we want to seek God, we need to follow closely, and we need to persevere despite our circumstances. So again, this is what we were talking about, where like when we see worship in spirit and in truth, we're anchored to the truth of who God is and not to the feelings or our circumstances. Does that make sense? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And like Caleb said, what does it actually look like to seek him with all of our heart? It's going to be different for all of us. Psalms 40:16 says, let all who passionately seek you erupt with excitement and joy over what you've done. Would we constantly rejoice in our Savior, saying how great and glorious is our God? We seek him because he's great, because he is glorious, because he's worth our pursuit, and because he's promised pursuit of us. And that's mind-blowing.
So good. I got something to add to that. last night afterwards, Dan was like, guys, that was so great, but can you guys add in, sorry, I say everything. So just so you guys know, like I say every, if we have a conversation, I might talk about it. So just, I just say what's on my head. So Dan was like, can you guys talk a little bit more about the kingdom? Which I was like, oh yeah, that's the series we're in. Let's do that. So I think when he was talking about that this morning, I just woke up and I was like, oh, here's how I can talk about that. Where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is like, I feel like he gave me the kingdom of God is like this morning. He was just like, the kingdom of God is like the thing under the thing. Okay, so here's what I mean by that. I can tell my wife, babe, I love you. Love you, babe. Have a good day. But the thing under the thing is, Arissa, I've loved you since we were 18. Like when we were kids, we fell in love. And I get to see you every day, and you're more beautiful today than you were then. And we've gotten to make children together and build a beautiful life together. Like, that is the thing under the thing. That is the kingdom. I can say, love you, babe. But the thing under the thing is this deep well of love that I have for this woman. So we have to seek. We have to look for the thing under the thing. It's like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? Okay, just go with me. To access the kingdom, the thing was the wardrobe, right? So they're in a different dimension. They got in the wardrobe and they went to another kingdom. Worship is the wardrobe. And we're up here because worship is our wardrobe. Like, that might be the expression that is the most comfortable for us. Maybe that's how God speaks to us. But it could be math. It could be science. It could be the word of God. Like, all of these things are tools that we have to access a different kingdom.
I'm Maddie. I've been feeling this whole time to share this. Kind of on that note, we've talked about connection, we've talked about desire, we've talked about seek, what is our wardrobe, and it's been making me think a lot about our firstborn. And when we had just had him, Tyvee, I remember praying for him, and the Lord gave me just a very specific vision. And he was sitting up in a tree, like older, and as his mom, I had come out and I was yelling at him to come down from the tree. And I was like, Tyve, come down. Like, we're going to go worship. We're going to go spend time with the Lord. Come down, come down. And I remember the Lord being like, he will redefine worship to you. And you need to be really careful as his mom of what you think that looks like. And he's going to be in the tree. And I remember being like, what? Like, offended, because I was like, no, I know how to worship you, you know? And so, but Ty was up in this tree. So now, fast forward, he's just about to turn 4. It's insane to watch what his life of worship looks like, because everything we do, Jesus is a part of it. So it's like we're playing Transformers, and he's like, Mom, which one do you want to be? And Dad, which one do you want to be? Well, Jesus is going to be this one. And Jesus is a part of every single thing that he does. We are coloring. I'm going to do red. Well, Jesus likes to color with the blue one. And so it's just funny to think about, like, what does that look like, whether it's math or... And I've been watching that in my firstborn, where I'm like, wow, like, worship to him is connection. So it's having Jesus a part of every single thing that he does. And then he gets to respond in that by having Jesus a part of it. So...
Wow, that totally leads into, okay, no more prophetic people talking, okay? Because we can't, I got to get through my actual notes. No, just go, okay, go ahead, Desiree. Here we go.
Sorry. What'd you say?
I said, go ahead, Desiree. Okay,
my name's Desiree. As Maddie was talking, it was an accident. I'm like in my Bible app, and I clicked it. I looked down and somehow I clicked on come near to God and he will come near to you. And I don't know, I had it highlighted, so I must have accidentally.
It's right here in the notes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's how I got there. I don't know. But I looked down as Maddie was talking and it was like, that is what it's all about, is like, because you were talking about receiving. It's this cyclical, beautiful thing, like just this cycle of beauty, of connection with him, where we receive from him. Like, I was thinking about when Jesus wants to wash Peter's feet, and he's like, okay, well then, you know, no, I need to wash your feet. And he's like, no, Peter. And he's like, okay, well, then wash all of me. And he's all like caught up in how. And Jesus is like, no, like, if you can't just receive me, like, receive me, you got to be able to receive me. And so we must humble ourselves and understand and open up to who he is so that we can receive him. And then we can pour our love out on him, which costs. And that kept coming up as you were talking about desire. And even as we were singing the song this morning of all my love, I'm literally singing that and thinking, this costs. Like, this is going to cost me my dignity. This is going to cost me, like, maybe my reputation. Like, what is it going to cost? And we need to consider that. Is he worthy of the cost of our pouring our love out on him? And then the exciting thing is he pours it right back on us and so on and so forth. So, anyway.
So good.
Yep. Just so you know, this is what it's like when they steal your message.
It's great.
I was here last night, but and I didn't ask a question, but I don't know why this is coming on my heart right now, is what would you guys say when you've lost desire? Like, if you can remember, oh, I used to feel this way when I'd worship God, or and maybe it's a hard circumstance or just tiredness or whatever, and it just feels like you don't even want to seek God. Like, you know you want to, but you don't really want to, and you don't feel the desire for him. How do you guys go about asking God for that desire back? How do you go about seeking that, even to have the desire and the want in the first place? What does it look like to worship God when you're just not where you want to be?
I can go. So when I said I was a recovering worship pastor, like I seriously like put everything on, just was honest with the Lord where I was at. And I remember I was just like struggling, and I love office supplies. So I told Arissa, like, I got to go. I'm going to go stay at a hotel, but first I'm stopping at Office Depot. So I stopped at Office Depot. I got some new pens and markers, which the Lord speaks through new pens and markers. I don't know. Any other office supply prophets here? Okay. So I went and stayed in a hotel, and I just literally took these really cool sticky notes and just wrote everything down on them. Like, I'm like, okay, like everything. Jesus, the Bible, the church, my family. Like, I put it all down, and I was just like, Lord, meet me here. Like, what is important for me to hold on to? What doesn't even matter at all? And what are the things that I need to work towards? And I think just that vulnerability and that honesty with the Lord, he's good with it, and he will meet us right there. And so that verse, like, that verse, James 4:8, I love it because it's so simple, and I need simple. Like, I'm a simple dude. Like, I love how a kid can bring an answer and just bring it, like, to the simplest form. Like, one time I asked my daughter, Avi, how did you sleep? She was, like, 3. She's like, with my eyes closed. Like, and it wasn't like, with my eyes closed, jerk, how do you think you sleep? It was, like, so innocent and so pure, with my eyes closed. And that verse, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. It's almost like this sweet, like, simplicity of this verse. And just, it just takes a little effort. Just like a 1% effort. Like, Lord, like Janelle is saying, like, just saying Jesus. And the other thing that we talked about last night, someone had shared that they just don't enjoy worship. They don't get it. They don't necessarily like it. And I would encourage you, if you don't, look for the thing under the thing. Like look for a way to engage with the Lord. Because we are accessing another kingdom, another realm. We're accessing heaven when we sing. And I've seen worship happen in Las Vegas with drunk people on the strip singing Elton John at a piano bar. Like, I have experienced worship there because these people... It's in us. Like, worshiping God is in us. And these people are drinking and singing and having fun. And they're experiencing the same thing that we get to experience in worship to Jesus. But they don't know it. they're unaware of what is happening. They're just like, this is fun. We're having fun. We're doing something together. It's unity. But that unity is something that is in our DNA. It is deep inside of us. The act of worship is innate in us. And it might not be natural to you. Like you might be one of the ones that's like, I don't like that part of church. That's okay. Just come and look for the thing under the thing. Seek him. Yeah.
As I just, begin to talk about dwell, I'll kind of bridge the gap because there's a little here and a little there. But practically speaking, looking for the thing under the thing. If we're singing a song and it's not where your heart's at, it is better to just close your eyes and say, Jesus, I love you right now. I give you my heart right now. Come and do work in me. That is more honest and more lovely than just singing the words, right? So just feel that practically, that you can just let whatever is in your heart towards the Lord just bubble up. That's worship, right? Talking about dwell, for me, dwell equals hangout, right? Breaking it down, really simple. Dwell equals hangout, right? And for me, worship, the difference between worship, reading the Bible, and prayer is like super thin. There is a difference. Don't get me wrong, right? But it's super thin, and follow me here. It's all just hanging out with the Lord. It's hanging out with the Lord. It's relationship, right? I'm going to read this scripture real quick, John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I'm going to read that one more time. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. What is that saying? That's saying that I don't read the scriptures for knowledge. I read the scriptures for Jesus. I don't read the scriptures for expanding my wisdom and learning about God. I read the scriptures to encounter God. I said this last night. I heard this at a conference. A witch looks at her spell book with more faith than a Christian looks at the Bible. I mean, just think about that. The Bible is the most powerful thing in the universe. Like, the Bible is living and active word of God that it has no beginning, has no end, was there in the beginning when God created the world. Right? So when we read the scriptures, man, this is what I do. Just practically speaking, feel free to take it or leave it. When I'm about to read the Bible, I keep it closed. And I'm like, Jesus, thank you for the day. Holy Spirit, would you open your word to me today, God? God, may your word abide in me as I abide in your word. Encounter me through your word today. And then I'll open the Bible and I'll read the scriptures. I'm not reading for knowledge. I'm reading for Jesus. Right? And so last night I said this as well, just let your worship look a little more like prayer. Let your prayer look a little bit more like worship. Let your Bible reading look a little bit more like prayer, like worship. It's just hanging out with God, and it blends. Got a question.
Hi, my name is Tori. I don't know if there's actually a question so much in this as like a need to say something, but we did the foundations class with Dan, and I don't know if it was a tangent or something we were actually talking about, but I said that it's really easy for me to go to concerts. I love concerts. I love music. It's something that I connect with on a deep, deep, deep level. And like, we went to a Bowling for Soup concert, and I had the time of my life, and it's my kind of music. And then I come to church, and I love worship, but it's so hard to be vulnerable in that way, and I'm so worried about everybody else and what everybody else is doing, and if they're watching what I'm doing, because I'm worried about what they're doing, and so I assume that other people are watching me too, and I know that that doesn't matter, but like, it does, because am I worshiping right? Am I praying right? Am I, and why is it so easy to go in these places where there is not God and feel so at home and then come to his home and not feel at home?
I felt this like three people ago. I just want to stop really fast. I feel like there is a weight. Sorry, I'm a mover. Not like you haven't noticed, but I have trouble sitting. So just hear from the Lord this morning, if you are living under like what you think is expected of you, all he asks for is you. You stepping into this room or speaking the name of Jesus in your morning and inviting him in, that's an offering unto him, and it's beautiful and it's cherished. And if you have guilt, if you have shame this morning, if you feel comparison or insecurity when it comes to the act of worship, that's what I feel the quickening in my spirit. Jesus wants to break that off of you this morning. This is not about the people around us. This is not about what we look like to the world. It's about him. And you stepping into a place, honestly, even in that concert environment and just acknowledging him, that's worship. It's worship. So Jesus, right now, we invite you into this moment. We thank you for the fact that you give us freedom. You bring clarity, but you set free those that are in bondage. And so I ask God, for the voice of the accuser to be broken in this room this morning. You have no power here, and we declare the truth of your word. God, I pray for freedom. I ask for minds. Sorry, guys, I'm losing my voice. I ask for minds and hearts to be freed up this morning, that we would leave lighter because we're under your yoke, his beautiful yoke. So in the name of Jesus, if you find yourself in that place, I just declare his blood over you this morning, that you don't have to live by any standards that are set in your mind or in the minds of others. When we lead worship in this place, we're not expecting something from you. Again, we all just want to look at Jesus. So Jesus, we look at you right now. We invite you to speak truth, 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 and identity over us. Would you be our home wherever we are? To what Tori was saying, God, we thank you that you are home to us. Thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to that real quick. Okay. To your point, we have been designed to worship. So we have an adversary and an enemy that is going to create counterfeits for us, right? So the reason you feel comfortable at that concert and don't care what anybody else thinks around you, I would submit, is because the enemy's like, if I can get them to worship over here where they're not actually glorifying my enemy, then I'm going to make them as comfortable as possible. But then you come in here, and the enemy immediately attacks us in our mind and in the flesh side of things and tries to steal where the true life of worship is. And so you just have to resist the devil, and the word says he will flee.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There is opposition. There is opposition, like, coming against us when we are entering into true worship. Like, just yesterday, we're teaching. I'm a little, like, oh, my gosh, is this going to be okay? Like, I'm a little stressed out, honestly. Like, and Osias gets influenza. Like, it's like, oh, he's sick. And then Nehemiah comes home, and he has a broken something in his foot from skating again. Like it's just like all these, my mom calls me and it's like something's going on with her and it's just like all these things. And I'm like, what is this? Like, there is opposition and it is real. But if you just push through and ask the Lord, and yeah, seek him and ask him to take that away.
Hi, I'm Courtney. And before I share what I was going to share, I just thank you so much for that vulnerability, because I can guarantee you are not the only person that feels that walking in here. I literally started to do the like small carry TV thing when I was singing. Then DJ looked at me and I was like, okay, I'll hug myself again. So I'm just letting you know it's exactly what happened. DJ, you ruined it. I'm just kidding. You did it. But yeah, no, like I can guarantee we all do that. So thank you for that, because that spoke straight to me. But I was really feeling... a couple months ago, I had a therapist, and she's not religious or anything, but I was able to kind of relate it back to a lot that, you know, I was going through a really rough time, and she's said, you know, for depression, anxiety, things like that, there's those mornings when you truly feel like you cannot get out of bed. It's not that I just need some rest. It's not that, it's the, I can't move. I can't do, I can't anything. And she was like, that needs to be your trigger to I have to. I have to get up and I have to do something for myself. I don't have to do anything for anybody else. Don't feel those pressures, but do something for myself. And I was really able to relate that to my relationship with God and with Jesus on, you know, there's times that, you know, I wake up on a Sunday morning and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to, I don't want to get dressed today. I'm just going to watch, you know, from my TV. But then there's times like this morning where I was driving here and I was like, but I don't have to. I could just turn around. And that was my trigger of, nope, you have to. Like, that is your way of saying, like, so I, you know, when you'd mentioned those days where, or those times where you don't feel close to God and feel like you can't worship, like, I really look at those as my trigger of, I have to make an extra effort because it is the enemy and it is them trying to sneak in. And it, that should just, so now I've been able on those days where I get depressed and I'm like, but I could just lay in bed all day and all my problems will go away, even though I know they won't, of that's my trigger to get closer to God and to feel uncomfortable. And in those moments is when I feel the closest because I've made that extra effort. And so just I wanted to share that because being able to kind of flip that in my head and not feel guilt about those days, but to know that I am truly just taking care of myself and God is helping me through that has gone so far the last few months. So
thank you for sharing that.
My name is Sandra, and I just wanted to share, it's just a simplicity that a worship leader shared with me that set me free. I know we all struggle with expectations. What are people looking at, et cetera, which we've all covered. But she said, when you're worshiping God or connecting to God, which you guys have explained, simply close your eyes, whether it's here or wherever you are, and remember, there's one audience, one person. Picture him and do whatever you feel you need to do to connect with him. Sing, pray, talk, listen, whatever. One audience, Jesus.
Can I just expose something? This it might ruffle some feathers. It's a religious spirit that's coming against, like, Tori and everybody. The Lord has called this body to a new level of unity in him. And the religious spirit wants to keep us limited and keep us in our heads. And all the Lord wants is relationship. And the opposite of religion is relationship. And when we become even more undignified than this, like David, the religious spirit came against that man. And think about what he was doing. He stripped down and he was dancing. And I'm just here to tell you, like, literally, Tori, whatever you do in that concert, you can do here. Like, if it's jumping up and down or whatever it is, like, the Lord who the Son sets free is free indeed. And if we don't believe that the Son has set us free, then what do we believe? And it's going to take a little bit of uncomfort to push on that, to push back. But I'm just here to expose this morning the religious spirit that's coming against the new levels that this body wants is meant to go to. There's a limitation. It's like, no, that's too much. No, don't do that. Don't cross the time. Don't dance. Don't be too loud. Like, these things that all go through our heads. It's not the people here. That's the religious spirit. So can I just pray against that this morning? Is that okay? Lord, we just thank you, Jesus, that you have come to set us free, Lord, this morning. And I just thank you that even as we press in, God, for more, Lord, all of us, Lord, you hear the cry of the heart of Shine that we want more, God. We are asking for more, Jesus, and we're pressing, God. I just see Shine pressing against this barrier. It's like a fluid barrier, Lord. And I just thank you that as we press against that, God, that you would bring breakthrough in Jesus. Jesus' name, God, we just command that the who the Son sets free is free indeed, and the religious spirit has to be broken right now in the name of Jesus. And we will go as far as you have called us to go in this season, Lord. And I thank you that even, God, I believe in faith, Lord Jesus, that there will be testimonies from this moment forward, God, of people coming into this church and not feeling that coming against in their mind, that they're able to worship you in spirit and in truth in Jesus' name, God. We will go to the levels you have called us to, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the more that you have for us. We press in, God. We say yes to the more in Jesus' name.
Amen. So earlier I did say that I was judging you guys about the coffee thing. It's just the coffee. Like, it's just the coffee. I'm working through it. I'm working through it, okay? So if you have to drink coffee during worship, it's okay. I'm sorry. I just...
Amazing. Oh. The next point that we have, and we're going to fly through some of these because we really want to make sure that we get to sacrifice this morning, but is gaze. And when Caleb is talking about reading scripture and about this book, when we read these words, we aren't just looking at words. We are looking at a person. He reveals himself through this book. And how can we worship someone that we don't know? Do you want to know him? This is how we are going to do that. He has made it easy for us to look upon him. And we see in the word, I will look upon the goodness of the Lord. And that's such a gift. And guys, what we look at is where we're going. So you think about it, like if I'm driving a car and I'm going this way, but I'm looking this way, am I gonna end up where I wanna go? Probably not. So what are you looking at? Ask yourself that. Like Desiree is saying, allow yourself to be uncomfortable and really face those things. What am I looking at? Because I wanna see the person behind this page. I don't want to live in fear of the world and in condemnation and all these things that are real experiences for us. But he has given us a way to gaze upon him. And that's one of my favorite words as a worship leader is just, Jesus, I want to behold you. To behold you. To look upon the one that I love. Let's gaze upon him and let's do that faithfully. Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We want to be people who are pure in heart. Amen?
My turn. So I have inquire is the next point here. And inquire basically just means to ask for information. And yesterday before 10 a.m., my daughter Esme had asked me at least 100 questions before 10 a.m. It was like, Papa, 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 Papa. And it's like, Papa, can you pull my tooth out? Like, yes, I can. When I'm done with the restroom, like, just give me a minute. And so inquiring is, sorry, I made that PG. That was my wife. I had a different word there. But inquire is just simply asking the Lord for information that we don't have. And I think so many times we don't even know what's going on in here. We don't even know. But he knows us. He created us in our inmost being. But it takes humility to ask. It takes humility to ask. So we have to humble ourselves to come to the Lord. We can't come to him like, hey, I know everything. Because when we don't ask him questions, what we're saying with our lives is that we know everything and we got this. And I think the biggest barrier to the gospel in our town is that people have enough. Like, I got the house, got a cool car, got the 2.5 kids, whatever it is. Like, the biggest barrier to the gospel, to revival, is that we're good. And we're not acknowledging the fact that we need Jesus. We need him. So inquire of him. Ask him for help. Lastly, the teaching team. I love that we have a teaching team. It's so cool. It's like this accountability and this this structure to what we get to share. And so Caleb and I weren't able to be there, but Janelle went and they recorded it, and we got to hear kind of the conversation. And it's so cool just that even in our, just like in worship, we all come with different expressions. And in the teaching team, they all come with different expressions. So Lauren was like, we have to talk about sacrifice. And that was like the overarching thing that, like, hey, we need to touch this. And I think someone said it earlier, but worship requires sacrifice. Something has to die for us to be in God's presence. Something, Jesus already died for us to be in his presence, but something has to die in us for us to interact with him. So Romans 12, 1 and 2, let me just get there real quick. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And I said this last night, the problem with a living sacrifice is that we're alive. Like, we can crawl off the altar. Like, I just imagine, like, all right, I'm on this altar, Lord, and just like that, like, subtle roll off, like, I don't want to do it. And that's sometimes the moment in worship. Like, we talked about this last night, too, just like the that song, I want to be tried by fire, crucified. I just put a little don't in there sometimes. I don't want to be tried by fire. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we might not be there. We might not be able to, in our heart of hearts, say, like, God, put me through the trials. Because if one more thing breaks, if the dishwasher breaks again, or if a kid hurts his foot or whatever it is, like, sometimes we might not be able to take that one more thing. And I think that's when it's okay to turn that song into a prayer. Like, Lord, get me there. Like, I don't feel it today. Like, help me to get there, God. But offering yourself as a sacrifice is a choice. We can roll off the altar. And asking God to refine us is costly. We have to fully submit to the process of refinement. So I wanted to close this out with a story that I came across a while back, and it's a story of the silversmith. So there was a group of people doing a Bible study, and they read this verse in Malachi 3:3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And this puzzled the group. They were like, what does that mean? Like, we don't understand what that means. So one of the members was like, hey, I got it. Why don't I do the research? This is the guy that probably connects with the Lord through math, you know, like I was talking about earlier. He's like, I'll do the research, and I will go and figure out what's the process of refining silver. So let me just read this to you. So one of the members offered to learn about the process of refining silver and inform them at the next study. He visited a silversmith and watched him at work. He watched the silversmith hold a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. The silversmith explained that in refining silver, you must hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were the hottest, to burn away all the impurities. The member then thought about God holding us where the flames are the hottest, to burn away our impurities. Then he thought again about the verse, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire and watch the process at all times. The silversmith answered that not only did he have to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time. It was tested in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long, the flames, it would be destroyed. You must leave it long enough to serve the purpose, but not too long, as it would destroy it. The member was silent for a moment. Then he asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled and answered, oh, that's easy, when I can see my image in it. When he can see his image in the silver, that's when he knew that it was refined. And this beautiful book of Psalms that we get to partake in ends in this way. Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And again, the knowledge from this our teaching team here at Shine, Pastor Dan brought up that word, praise. And that word, I don't even know how you guys do that. We need to chat later. Like, the Greek for the word praise. Like, yeah, so, but Dan was like, the word praise means to shine. Like, there's no other definition. This word here means to shine. So to me, that's like a beautiful picture of, like, God pouring into us, us reflecting back his beauty, just like you were talking about. Like, us being able to give God back pure love because of what he gave us. It's just us shining. It's just us reflecting his goodness. It's us reflecting his image. Not just when we sing. Not just when we sing, but when we leave this place, when we interact with our friends here, when we interact with people at work. So let's read this again with that word shine. Shine for the Lord. Shine God in his sanctuary. Shine for him in his mighty heavens. Shine for him for his acts of power. Shine for him for his surpassing greatness. Shine for him with the sounding of the trumpet. Shine for him with the harp and the lyre. Shine for him with the tambourine and dancing. Shine for him at the bowling and bowls of bowl. Whatever the concert was you were at. Shine for him with the clash of cymbals. Shine for him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath shine for the Lord. Let everything that has breath reflect the Lord, who he is, what he's done, what he's poured out. And if we do that, that's worship. If we get to that place, people will see Christ in us and they will be changed.
You guys want to stand? Adam, do you want to pray?
Jesus, we love you. We acknowledge you in this place. You're good. You're faithful. There's no one like you, God. No one can love us like you do, God. Jesus, open our eyes to see the things of your kingdom wherever we look. Open our eyes to be able to see you underneath everything that we touch, everything that we see, every person that we interact with. God, we want to understand you in a new way. So I pray that you would put in us a desire to know you intimately, God. Lord, let our lives be a reflection of who you are as we willingly offer ourselves up as a sacrifice, Jesus. I pray that the beauty of the Lord would be the forefront of everything that we do, not just in this room, God, but everywhere that we go, in our families, in our marriages, God, in our relationships, at work, at home. Jesus, let us shine for you. Let us praise you with everything that we are. Can we just sing? Let's just sing, I love you, Lord, and I live my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, hear what you hear, and let it be sweet. Let it be, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. One more time. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your